Live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show hell hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound. Right next to Area 51, so the CIA, the NSA, the Social Security Administration, the IRS, leave us alone. They don't know where we are. Good to be with you today. We're going to be on the road tomorrow, heading to Harrison, Arkansas. We'll be speaking for our good friends down there at the Oak Lane Church. I love Arkansas. I love Arkansas people. I are one of them by birth. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, which is right along the Mississippi River. In fact, we were poor back then. I didn't know it. But my daddy always said, my mom said it too, that if your daddy didn't garden, hunt, and fish, well, we'd have probably starved to death back in those days. We lived on a little old farmhouse that was on the riverside of the levee. If you know what a levee is, it's this big dam-like structure, a big bank of dirt that separates fields and towns and everything from river flooding. And so we got a low-rent house on the riverside of the levee, right next to a cotton field. I remember growing up next to a cotton field. And that's where I got my humble beginnings. Our neighbors was a good friend of my parents. I think they have both passed away. But anyway, he worked at a paper mill in Pine Bluff. And if you've ever been around a paper mill, smelliest, stinkiest job known to man is working at a paper mill, but that's where he worked. My mom and our neighbor, her friend, were coming home one night, and there's a lake that was next to the levee on the town side of the levee towards Pine Bluff. And it's at night, and they come past this lake, and there is, hovering above the water, a glowing, what the Bible would refer to as a fiery chariot, floating there above the water, just sitting there. And as they got past this fiery chariot, it hovered there for a little while and then zip, gone up into the air. And they both looked at each other, could not believe what they saw. And of course, back, this would have been in the mid 60s. Back then, you couldn't talk about this. Because our own government, the CIA or whoever, had turned this issue into something that if you talked about it, you were a lunatic. You were crazy. You were drunk. There's something wrong with you. You're making up stories or whatever. And so people who saw these things, they never talked about them. Now, in today's age where everybody has a camera, And some people invest some money in sophisticated camera equipment. Night vision, infrared. They are now capturing pictures and video of things flying in the sky that we never knew were there. And I would venture to say that probably every single day there are unidentified aerial phenomenon, if that's the new government phrase, that is presenting itself everywhere in the world, practically every day. The fact, one of the things that we know, and this comes from a video taken by the Air Force of the nation of Peru, or Chile. The Chilean government scrambled a helicopter because there was a sighting of something, or something had showed up on radar. They flew out to the location. They filmed. They had a camera on the helicopter. Could not see anything. When they flipped the camera over to infrared, and infrared picks up nothing but a heat signature, something that's either hot or cold. It picks that up in the infrared spectrum. We cannot see. Our eyes cannot see infrared. But when their infrared camera was turned on, they could see this dark object there just floating in the sky. They would switch over then to live video, couldn't see it. Switch back over to infrared, there it was. Did this for several minutes, just hung there. And then all of a sudden, to everybody's amazement, it starts emitting some sort of substance into the atmosphere. To this day, we have no idea what that was. We don't know what kind of craft it was. We don't know what it was that it was emitting out into the air. How is it that it could cloak itself, be seen in infrared, but not be seen with video, which basically represents the human eye? Those are things that are totally unanswered. Now, I'm going to give you a little preview of, and before I do that, I've got to show you something. I had to restart my computer to get everything to work right, because I've got a few audio examples to show you in this presentation today. Let's see here. Where can I find... There we go. The launching of our new website. And let me tell you about the man who designed this for us. I'll put this up on the screen here. It is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I am not a website designer. I remember years ago when I was going to do my first Watchmen video, I put up a website, and somebody called and said, you know, I do websites for a living. I'd like to help you with your website, because whoever did it, I mean, it doesn't look very good. And I'm going, that was me. I'm not a website designer. But this is the launching now of, it was an idea I believe God gave me. We're going to use this to promote what we're doing when we go to Las Vegas. This is ufopastor.com. And by the way, I appreciate The people who sent me the stickers for our vehicles, UFOPastor.com. Now, my wife has already put her foot down and said, you are not putting that on our car. So I'm not. I'm going to put it on our RV. Naturally. This video will go on there. What I do down in Harrison's going down on there, and anything else that I come up with of a nature relating to UFOs or cryptozoology or the paranormal, because I think they're all related, is going on here. This website contains practically every video that I've done dealing with unidentified flying objects, what they are, what's behind them, the aliens that are behind them, and so on. The fact that they are gods with a little g, and that is also the subject of this week's Watchman broadcast. It is being uploaded as we speak. I was going to do it first thing this morning, forgot all about it. But anyway, just a fantastic job done by Brother Stan. He is going to work on giving us a new website for our Hope Foundation, which is the ministry name of what we do in Kenya. It's called Hope Foundation here in America, but underneath that is what's called Bethel Media Services. That's how we operate in Kenya. That's how we're registered in Kenya. And so he's gonna help us out with that. But if you are, I will tell you this. I have told him that he can put his name and contact information on this website. And if you like this website, then you contact him. If you want a website put up, I recommend him. He's been a follower of our ministry. I personally met him. He came to our church several years ago and helped us out with some things here, and I appreciated that. And it's just a great guy. And so he's, like I say, he's been following our ministry for several years. And I appreciate the job that he did, the graphics that he came up with, UFO Pastor Michael Hoggard, Bethel Church, Missouri. Apparently that's supposed to be me being sucked up into the UFO. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. So anyway, Stan, I appreciate you. And anybody who wants to reach out to you, be sure and put your contact information on the website so they'll know how to get in touch with you. They may want a website of their own. And I believe that Stan is the guy that can do it for you. Now that I've said this, I'm going to take the perspective now of someone who, if I were to ask them, do you believe in UFOs? And I would ask this of any Christian. Do you believe in UFOs? And I'm not surprised when many of them say, no, I don't. I don't believe in that kind of nonsense. And so it's sort of like the response that I gave to a certain ministry leader, and this particular person, I've never met him, but I know somebody who knows him, and they say he is a great guy, wonderful Christian, godly man, loves the Lord, loves spreading the gospel, and he has a ministry that he inherited. The person who owned the ministry before him passed away, and so he inherited the ministry, and he's running it now, doing a fantastic job. However, he does not believe that giants came from the mating of evil angels with human women. His explanation of that, and he made a video of it, his explanation of it is, I'm sorry, but you people have been reading the book of Enoch. It's not in the Bible. You should have never touched that book or read it because it's affected your mind. And there's something wrong with you if you believe that. I don't think that he ever actually came out and said, you're probably not saved if you believe this. If he would have said this, I might have been inclined to give his name and the ministry that he runs. But I don't want to do that. He is a King James Bible believer, 100%. I know it for a fact. And so I made a couple of videos called Giants for Those Who Don't Believe. And it's basically the biblical explanation of why I believe what I believe. And I didn't get it. And I make a point to tell people, yes, I read the book of Enoch 20 years ago. I haven't touched a drop since then. Okay? I've been completely dry of the book of Enoch now for 20 years. Haven't read it. I don't believe it. Although parts of it could possibly be true, I don't trust it. It's not in the Bible. It shouldn't be in the Bible. And there are videos on YouTube. YouTube is recommending them to me, saying that this has been hidden from Christians for years and they need to know this. This should be in the Word of God. No, it shouldn't. I do not agree with that. So without even mentioning the book of Enoch, I tried to explain biblically, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, why I believe that the sons of God were in fact evil angels. They left their first estate. They married human women. That's coming up in this week's Watchmen broadcast and next week's, well, the Watchmen broadcast after I get back from Harrison. That's coming up. And so anyway, I'm did this on UFOs. For those, if you were to ask them, Grandpa, do you believe in UFOs? I don't believe in any kind of that kind of nonsense. I got too much. I've been working too much. And I just don't believe in it. And so what I'm doing here is I'm showing you that this is real now. And we're in a different world than what your parents or your grandparents or great-grandparents grew up in. We are in a different world than what they lived in. The fact that, like I said earlier, that everybody has a camera now. And when people see things that are odd, the first thing they do is pull their camera out and try to snap a picture of it or take video of it or whatever. So a lot of times the video is shaky, and that's understandable because they're seeing things they've never seen for the first time, or they're trying to zoom in, and when you zoom in, if you don't have it on a tripod, it's going to shake and everything else. But I believe the world is different now. More and more and more people are seeing these things, and we now finally have an admission. Not just from the United States government, but governments around the world are now openly admitting that they have been investigating UFOs for decades. ever since man started flying, we've been seeing these things. The pilots have been seeing them, commercial pilots, military pilots, private pilots, people on the ground, people who work in radar. People are noticing and they're seeing these things, and we have evidence that these things exist. Now, it's not like we're talking about, do you believe in purple? Do you believe in purple unicorns? Okay, there is no, to my knowledge, there is no government study of purple unicorns. But there is government studies being done right now on unidentified. Let's see, UAP is unidentified. It's not aerial phenomenon. It is, I can't think of the word I'm wanting to use. But anyway, you get the idea. It doesn't deal with aerial. It also deals with outer space as well. So let's get into the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Now, I believe that the alien issue, their visitation to this earth, their actions and their work on this earth, whether it be to just communicate with mankind or in their abductions or cattle mutilations or whatever it is, it represents something new that I don't believe people talked about 100, 200, 2,000, 4,000 years ago. It's possible that they did. But we are literally talking about gods that no one knew existed or no one believed existed. And the fact that these aliens are, in fact, gods. When they make an appearance here on this earth, and I'm talking currently, it is obvious that they have abilities that we do not have. Many people that have encountered them have said that they were spoken to telepathically, that they have the ability to appear and disappear at will, that they have the ability to take over the human body and render it immovable. In other words, immobile. They can't move. They have no will of their own. Several have even sworn that a group of aliens would appear in their bedroom, lift them up out of their bed by some form of whatever force they used. They didn't touch their hand. They didn't pick them up with their hands. They just floated them up in the air, floated them through the wall of their house, and then they find themselves in a ship somewhere. When they come to this world in mass, and I believe that day is going to happen when a third of the stars get kicked out of heaven, they will still be regarded as gods. So he said in verse 14, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. To me, it's interesting that God brought up the cattle. Because definitely, the cattle mutilation issue is related to UFOs. You have several people who have witnessed cattle being taken up into these UFOs, into these ships. For what purpose? I personally don't know yet, but I'm studying. I'm looking for answers. But it's interesting that he said, when you find out that the children of Belial withdraw the inhabitants of a certain city, and he's talking about when they get into the promised land, and if you find out that they have turned those people over to the gods that before they have not known, that the rest of you is to go to that city, kill every man, woman, and child, including the cattle, with the edge of the sword. God is dead serious about this. Why? Because he knows what these gods are, and he knows what their capability is, and he knows that they represent a threat to the rest of the tribes of Israel. And remember, God is in the preserving business. Once he says, "You're my people, I'm going to preserve you." And if there's somebody among you who is trying to withdraw you away from me, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to put him out. I won't tolerate people trying to subvert my people. That's what God said. Now, Psalm 68, 17. This is a verse that I've taught on many times before. This gives us then the evidence from the Bible. So let's say that just for practical reasons, you don't believe in flying saucers, little green men from Mars. You don't believe in any of that stuff. Okay? So here's what I'm going to ask you. Do you believe the Bible? Now, if you're a Christian, you would say, yes, I believe the Bible. And I believe what it says. So then I will draw your attention to certain verses that describe for us that a certain portion of the angels of heaven, angels have different appearances, they have different duties, different tasks that they perform. There is a group of angels called the Order of Melchizedek. They are the priestly angels of God. They give attendance to the temple of God. Now, does God need angels? No, but he has created them to be used, just like he created the earth to be inhabited. At one time, it was void and formless, but God changed all of that. Does God need us? No, but he chose to make us for whatever reason, so that and to use us to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his plan. So, in the Bible, it clearly states, Psalm 68, 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. If you go back to Exodus 19, you see that God was among his people at Mount Sinai, in the holy place. God was going to use Israel. And think about it. From Mount Sinai, God gives the commandment and the instructions and the outline and the blueprints, even shows Moses what it looks like, the Ark of the Covenant. What is the Ark of the Covenant? It's the seat that God sits on. It's called his mercy seat. Now, how does the mercy seat go from point A to point B? It was carried by four Levite priests. Remember, they had the bar that went through the rings. four men on each corner, put it on their shoulders, and they walked with the Ark of the Covenant. So for everything that God has in the heavens, he has an earthly shadow of it. That's in the book of Hebrews. That the tabernacle and all the furniture of it and all the priesthood was a shadow of heavenly things. So here we have God. Can God move from A to B by himself? Yes. Absolutely yes. Is God crippled and he needs somebody to drive him around? No. God chooses to do it this way. I'm not sure of the reason, but this is how God does it. So the Bible says the chariots of God, that God has 20,000 chariots. That is a lot of cars, but he has them. And what are those chariots made of? Angels. And it's not telling you that angels are just the drivers of the chariot. The angels themselves are the chariot of God. When Jesus returns in Revelation 19, how does he return? Riding on a white horse. Again, does he have to do that? No, he chooses to do it for whatever reason. That reason, it may be given to us in the scriptures. I haven't found it yet, but I believe it nonetheless. So the chariots of God are angels. And I know it's hard, difficult for us to think of it this way, but work with me here for a minute. Are we not now on the verge of having totally autonomous, self-driving vehicles with artificial intelligence? Yeah, we are. We're on the verge of that. Every new car year, every new production of a new vehicle that comes out, there's a lot more technology that goes into it. And it's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to all be driving cars one day and then boom, we're going to get the smart car. It's going to happen over time. But eventually, in the future, and I believe the near future, cars will drive themselves. I mentioned the other day, we already have Google's AI telling us on Google Maps where an accident is going to be. How does Google know that? Because Google monitors your phone constantly. Your phone, or let's say that there's something in your car that communicates via Bluetooth, and that, of course, that goes into the Internet of Things. Data that's floating around out there. Google uses that data to determine that there is an accident in a certain place or a slowdown, and you might want to avoid that. Well, that's today. Tomorrow, what's going to happen is Google is just simply going to drive you a different route to avoid a congestion or a traffic jam that you would be part of, or possibly, and I would say probably, at some point in the near future, your car is going to be driving you so that you will not get into an accident. The car will take over. My insurance agent, he said this to me 5-6 years ago, that he attended a meeting of agents. I won't tell you what insurance company it is. I'll tell you this. The old initials were MFA. Some of you might remember that. But anyway, he attended a meeting. And the discussion was when, not if, when cars become self-driving and there's an accident, who's at fault? Who's going to pay the bill? Who's going to pay the damages? It can't be the driver. The driver wasn't driving. It would be like if you were in an Uber or a taxi and the taxi has a wreck. Well, you're not responsible for the wreck, are you? You weren't driving. You're just a passenger. In a self-driving car, you're just the passenger. You're not the driver. So who would be responsible for an accident in the case of a self-driving car? And I think the question being brought up 5 or 6 years ago, I thought, wow, that's really forward thinking. I don't believe that anymore. I think when the cars become self-driving, the possibility of accidents are going to go way down. Because cars will be connected to other cars. They will be aware of each other's presence at all times. And will always, they will have software and algorithms that will constantly monitor not only their position, speed, so and whatnot, but every other car's speed and position and signal turning and places like, I think they're going to know these things by way of artificial intelligence connected to a central brain. Okay? So anyway, so it now, is it so far-fetched to think that God rides in a living creature chariot? Not anymore, it's not. 1 Kings 7, when Solomon built the temple and he was building a place for the Ark of the Covenant, this is what he built. I don't know what that phone call is, and I can't answer it now anyway. Anyway, so 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 23, and he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was round all about, and its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under the brim of it round about, there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea round about it. Remember, God sits in the midst of a sea of glass, clear as crystal in Revelation chapter 4. And so verse 25, and it stood upon 12 oxen. Now, of the four cherubs that we see in Ezekiel 1, they had the face of what? A lion, an eagle, an ox, and a man. It stood upon 12 oxen. 12, the number 12, indicates the heavenly realm because of the 12 constellations, the 12 months. It stood upon 12 oxen, three looking toward the north, three looking toward the west, three looking toward the south, and three looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. In verse 32, he says, and under the borders were four wheels. So it's a four-wheel drive chariot. These wheels, watch this, these wheels are alive. These wheels are alive. And I want you to notice the numbering here. The borders were four wheels, and the axle trees of the wheels were joined to the base, and the height of a wheel was a cubit and a half, a cubit. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Their axle trees, their naves, their fellows, and their spokes were all molten. 1, 2, 3, 4. That number is telling you that this represents the spiritual realm. These wheels were alive. And of course, what is it that a chariot rides on? The wheels. If you take the wheels off of a chariot, what do you have? A box and nothing else. It takes the wheels, all right? Jesus takes the wheels. That's pretty good. Ezekiel 1. Now, this is a description of the chariot. See, what Solomon built here was the place where he was going to set the Ark of the Covenant. He was going to set the Ark of the Covenant on a sea of glass that was held up by 12 oxen on a cart that had wheels on it. Ezekiel 1:5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. They were humanoid in their appearance, and these were angels. Verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. An eagle has wings. All of these creatures had wings. Their wings were joined together, and they turned not when they went. In other words, let's say the man was facing north. Well, if they went east, then the man still faced north. And if they went south, the man still faced north. All right, that's how they moved. Now in verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. That is the exact same color of the UFO that my mom saw. The UFO, my son said that one night he saw an amber orb flying through the sky. What is a burning coal? What does it look like? It's amber. That's the color of it. And by the way, what are spirits made of? He made his ministers spirits. He made them flaming fire. That's what they're made, their substance that they're made of. We're made of carbon. We are a carbon-based life form. They are made of fire. That's what their bodies are made of, their forms are made of. And don't misunderstand this idea of the word spirit. Some people, when they think, well, they're spirits, they don't have a form. Who told you that? You've been watching Casper the Friendly Ghost. But every angel, every spirit that I've seen in the scripture had a visible, recognizable form. Okay? So, the likeness of the living creatures and their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, understand some things about this. This chariot of God defied the laws of our three-dimensional universe's physics. It is not possible for anything in this universe to move and be from a sitting position and immediately be traveling at, let's say, 2,000 miles an hour. It's not possible. Everything in this world must accelerate. The Apollo 11 guys, they said riding that Saturn V rocket, if you've ever seen the space shuttle takeoff or the Saturn V rocket takeoff, it takes off. When it does, it's slow. What it's doing, it's lifting all of the weight of all of that fuel that it's carrying. But the astronaut said that the more fuel that Saturn V rocket burnt, the lighter it got and the faster it went. And buddy, they said it was one incredible ride to ride that thing. We don't have anything in this world that can be sitting still and all of a sudden instantaneously be traveling at 2,000 miles an hour or 25,000 miles an hour. We have nothing that can do that. But this chariot did. It not only had the ability to be from a sitting position to move 25,000 miles, or let's say in this case, the speed of light. But not only could it move at the speed of light instantaneously, it could then stop without decelerating. Now, you and I both know that if you're traveling at 60 miles an hour and you come to a sudden and abrupt stop, what's that going to do to you? It'll probably kill you. Who was it? Dale Earnhardt? The wreck that killed him, basically him hitting that wall, it ripped the main artery from his heart and he just died instantly. Okay? So that's what they have the ability to do. The creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. They were stopped, they ran, and they returned without accelerating or decelerating. That's what your Bible says. So do you believe the Bible so far? Now, Ezekiel 1:15, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they had, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And I want you to think about it. This picture of Saturn that I have up on the screen. Uranus, the planet Uranus, has rings around it. We don't see it, but they have rings around it. And I want you to think about this for a minute. This design is the design of God himself. The wheels that God made, he later says they're rings. These wheels that God made have wheels around it. Now I want you to think of, you see the planet Saturn here, and I want you to think of the Earth. Do we not have an object that circles the Earth in the same way that you have rings around Saturn? Yes. Now think of the solar system. You have the sun, you have all the planets, and all the planets in a relatively straight line revolving around the sun, just like this. You don't have some of them that go like, you know, from the top to the bottom to the top to the bottom, while others are doing some sort of diagonal thing. They're all doing it along the same line, just like atoms. The electrons that spin around an atom do so exactly like the planets that orbit the sun, the moon that orbits the earth. It does so in the same line, the rings around Saturn. This is the handiwork of God, people. This is how God leaves his signature everywhere. Galaxies. You have a central core to a galaxy, and then you don't have other stars in that galaxy that spin in all these different other ways. It's usually along the same line. The other stars spin around the axis of that galaxy. Isn't that amazing? I love God. Like, God, I love you. You're smart. So they have a wheel in the middle of a wheel. In verse 20, whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, God has chariots, and this is what they look like. And God doesn't have to yell at the horses or whip them to get them to go wherever he wants them to go. The spirit of the living creatures is in the wheels, and wherever the living creatures desire to go, the wheels automatically, without instructions or verbal commands, move the chariot where the angels, the cherubims, want to go. Now, here's what's interesting. If you believe the picture, I don't have it up on the screen, don't have it in the presentation. Supposedly, there is a picture of a panel that was taken from the ship at Roswell that crashed. And it had two places on it where the alienauts put their hands, their six-fingered hands, by the way, on that panel. And they traveled basically at the speed of thought. Wherever they wanted to go, the chariot took them there by way of thought. You could say that the spirit of these beasts was in the wheels, was in the saucer or whatever form it took. It was ran by thought power. It's what Bob Lazar testified to. It's what others have said who say that they have been in the know. They know that these things worked by way of thought. And is that out of the question? No, because the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. 2 Kings 2, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Remember what I told you they're made of? Fire. Not like earthly fire, spiritual realm fire, which I believe also is living. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by heaven, went up by a whirlwind into heaven. There was a literal chariot from the angelic realm that separated Elijah from Elisha. Again, Psalm 104, I mentioned this verse, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne, remember, his throne is sitting on a chariot. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Think about it. The good angels and God himself have chariots that are made of the living beings called angels. They are living entities, intelligent, self-aware. That's what they are. And they serve God. They're made of fire, the fiery flame. The wheels also as well as burning fire, which is exactly what my mom saw. She didn't see a metallic saucer. They saw an amber-colored disc floating above this lake, like the color of fire. Interesting. Now, Zechariah, we have four of them. I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. And the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." Now, it doesn't mention anything in this verse that there were angels sitting in the seats of these chariots driving the horses. Does it? So obviously, the chariots and the horses were alive because they were spirits. Are you catching this now? Is this making sense to you? The chariots are spirits. They themselves are spirits. There are good spirits. There are evil spirits. These happen to be, and I believe that these four chariots and their horses match Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the first four seals. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and that the four horses and horsemen that you see in Revelation 6 are like opposites of these four chariots and four horses. In other words, they could be like the devil's version. You know, the number four represents the spiritual realm, but it represents the gospel as well. So it's possible that these four chariots represent somehow, some way, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the spirits of the gospel carried to all the world. Then you could have the opposite of that, false gospel, which doesn't do anything but bring, number one, war, take peace from the earth. Number two, famine, pestilences. And then finally, the fourth one is always different. The fourth one is always different. Here in Zechariah 6, the fourth one is grizzled and bay, spotted. He's not like the other horses. And in Revelation 6, the fourth horse that comes out, the pale horse, the gray, get it? The gray horse that comes out has two riders on it. Death and hell followed with him. It's different than the other three. So it's very possible that the four horses that you see in Revelation 6 are the exact opposite of these four horses and chariots in Zechariah 6. These may represent the true gospel. Those represent the gospel that brings death and hell to mankind. Do you believe the Bible? So do you believe that chariots are spirits? Well, the Bible says these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. It's that simple. Now, the bad guys have chariots too. 2 Kings 6:8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." Then it says in verse 14, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots." Now I know this is an earthly king, but I also believe that this is a typology, a shadow of heavenly things, the way Hebrews says it. So we have the evil king of Syria warred against Israel. Who are we warred against? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in where? High places, up in the air. And a great host, and they came by night, encompassed the city about. And when the servants of the men of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And this is Elisha's servant. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. What did he see? Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. God sent his horses and chariots to compass and surround Elisha and his servants so that no harm came to them whatsoever. You see, he really does send his angels to surround us and compass us and protect us and shield us, doesn't he? This may be the very reason why you've never seen a UFO. I've never seen one. I can tell you this, that at the time when my mom saw one, she was lost as a goose. Obviously, she hasn't seen any recently. It may be why you just don't believe in them. It's because the angels of God have compassed you and protected you and shielded you, and they just are not, they're not coming around. Did you think about that? Now, Ezekiel 23:24, "And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and what? Wheels." Why did he have to mention the wheels? Because the wheels are alive too. The Hebrew word here for wheels is ophanim. And I can tell you, having what little I know about the Kabbalah, the ophanim are worshipped in the Kabbalah. So are the chariots. They're called the Merkaba. Both the wheels, the ophanim, and the chariots are both seen as living creatures. "They shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments." Now, it used to be, years ago, that if you wanted to read any story about UFOs, this is where you had to get your information from. The National Enquirer. "Police terrified as UFO responds to their signals. Close Encounters of the Third Kind." Elvis. "Hillary Clinton adopts alien baby. Secret Service building special nursery in the White House. This is an official, real photo. And you can tell it's real. Space creature survived UFO crash in Arkansas. So Hillary said, oh, Bill, let's raise it. Bill was thinking, is it a female? Maybe I can get something out of it later. Used to be that's where the only place in the world you could find out about UFOs was trash like that. Now, 2017, New York Times. The New York Times. Up until now, had never published a serious article about UFOs. See, I'm telling you, we're living in a different world now. This is the old world. This is the new world. So the New York Times invested money, did the investigation. It took, they didn't just write this overnight. This took probably a better part of a year to write this story. Glowing auras and black money, the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program. And then the decision, after it was written, to finally run the story. And what has happened since this story came out is that now that the New York Times has broken the ice, every other news outlet, CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, newspapers all over the country, all over the world. Now, we're hearing UFO stories. We're hearing more about UFO stories than we are about George Floyd. They're coming out almost every day with a new UFO story. Tom DeLonge running to the Stars Academy. Part of their company's business is to promote stories about UFOs to local news outlets. Jeremy Corbell, who did his first documentary was called Patient 17, and it was about someone who had some sort of alien chip inserted into his skin, and there was a doctor that specialized in that. He did a documentary on Skinwalker Ranch, found out that the government ran a program called ALSAP, where the government spent 20-some-odd million dollars researching Skinwalker Ranch, because at Skinwalker Ranch, you didn't just have UFOs showing up. You had portals opening up where you could actually see into another world at Skinwalker Ranch. You had poltergeist activity going on there. You had weird stuff, and the government was spending money because the Defense Department, if it's true that a portal could open up to another location, you can bet your bottom dollar that the Pentagon wants to know how to do that. How to use science to open up a wormhole to go from A to B without passing through all the places between here and there. And they were spending money researching that. Started out with ALSAP, which became ATIP, Lou Elizondo. Now, June 25th, 2021, U.S. Department of Defense examined 144 unidentified aerospace phenomena. That's the word I was thinking of. And determined that one could be identified. The other 143 UAPs were a mystery. They had no idea what they were. But they knew that they could not have been made by the United States. They could not have been made by China, Russia, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Antarctica. They couldn't be made by, Bolivia. Couldn't have been made by the Ukraine. Couldn't have been made by Estonia or Norway. So they have no idea. They said they have no idea where they came from. And of course, what they did not admit in the June 25th report was, we believe they're extraterrestrial. They left that completely out of it. So now you have stories coming out, and I'm using this YouTube as fair use. You have stories coming out like this.
A much-anticipated government report on UFOs lists 144 known sightings of unidentified aerial phenomena. Now, the study released on Friday found only one of those can be explained, just one. The report is a rare example of the government acknowledging that it has investigated UFO cases. As David Martin reports, the lack of explanation is fueling even more questions about what else may be out there.
My gosh!
There is no longer any doubt unidentified flying objects are real.
Did you hear what he said? Stop! CBS admitting there is now no more doubt that UFOs are real.
A much-anticipated government report. Now, the study released on Friday found only one of those can be explained, just one. The report is a rare example of the government acknowledging that it has investigated UFO cases. As David Martin reports, the lack of explanation is fueling even more questions about what else may be out there.
My gosh!
There is no longer any doubt unidentified flying objects are real. This one was seen by now-retired Navy pilot Alex Dietrich in her F-18 off the coast of California.
There were two aircraft in our visual encounter. Each aircraft had two air crews. And then immediately following that, a single aircraft with two air crew who were able to lock onto this thing and get the clear footage.
It's been 17 years, and a new report by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence still can't explain that and more than 140 other sightings of so-called unidentified aerial phenomena, some of which appear to demonstrate advanced technology.
The way that it was maneuvering, the way it was accelerating and also hovering, it seemed to have capabilities that our systems would not have been able to display or keep up with. So certainly in that moment, there was some shock and awe.
The report says there is no evidence these objects came from outer space and no evidence they represent a technological breakthrough by a rival like China or Russia. Where they came from and where they go remain a mystery. But the Director of National Intelligence says they may pose a challenge to U.S. national security.
Anything that is unknown that's as close to the coast as it was, I think that's a concern.
This object went into the water, also off the coast of California, in 2019. The Navy could find no wreckage, leaving it next to impossible to determine who it belonged to. For CBS This Morning, David Martin, The Pentagon.
So, no evidence that they're from outer space, No evidence they're a foreign rival, but it's a little concerning when you have a military aviator saying, we saw this thing. We have no idea what it is.
And that they appear to have advanced technology.
I want to see somebody waving.
Yes. Zoom in there. Is there someone in the window?
Yeah, no, Klaus on Steadicam said, I'm with him. I want to see somebody waving.
Somebody waving from the window in the cockpit?
Yes.
Hi. Alien on board sign just taped in the window?
Just something.
Those are nervous laughs. Awful nervous laughs that they're making. Now, just grasp this. Your government saying, yes, they exist. The news saying, yes, they exist. We have gone into a new world. A world that we have never been in before. Before now, news making fun of people won't even run stories about UFOs. Now you have them on CBS. Now you have the United States government admitting. And you have to ask the question, since they know for a fact we didn't make it, they know for a fact China didn't make it, they know Russia didn't make it, they know for a fact that it did not come from anywhere on Earth, where in the world do you think it came from then? There's only another place that it could have come from. If it's not Earth, here is a few videos of some pretty interesting UFOs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with these. That one to me looks like a fiery flying serpent. Let me go to this one. This one's interesting. United States submarine Trepang, SS-412, during the Vietnam War, was stationed in the North Atlantic, somewhere around Iceland, I think, or something like that. It was someplace cold, someplace way up north. The captain, Rear Admiral Dean Reynolds Sackett Jr., pictured, stationed in the Arctic in March of 1971, is claimed to have encountered and photographed extraordinary USOs, unidentified submerged object. This is, he's got his periscope pulled up. He sees this object that has risen up out of the water. They first detected it on sonar. It rose up out of the water. It turned sideways. They took a picture of it after graciously agreeing to look at the photos, where Admiral Sackett replied with, "All I saw was ice." But it must be duly noted that military personnel sign oaths to never disclose what they see while in service. You're fixing to see a better picture than that of this object. There it is there. This is a triangular UFO that is seen a lot. They call it the TR-3B. I'm not exactly sure where that term comes from. This, I think, is either submerging or emerging from the waters there where they were stationed. Let's see here. I won't show that. Now listen to Lou Elizondo. Remember, he's the one who ran ATIP, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which is what the New York Times was writing about. And Elizondo quit his position as head of ATIP. He was investigating military encounters of UFOs because they represented a threat to United States airspace. And they wanted to know what it was. They wanted to know how they were able to go from 0 to 2,000 miles an hour without accelerating, how they were able to stop without decelerating, how they were able to be traveling at 3,000 miles an hour and make a right-hand turn without curving or anything like that. But Lou Elizondo was approached by one of his superiors. And listen to what he said.
when you mentioned something UFOs conflicting with those with some within the Pentagon philosophically or religiously, were they because of that? Was there any proactive suppressing or limiting of how much you could do because of that?
Sure. I had to be very careful. I really had to operate in the shadows more than ever. I was used to doing it because of my job, but you know, I wasn't used to running operations, you know, inside my own organization. But that's what we had to wind up doing, because there were people that were certainly against this effort, and only because of, again, their philosophical belief system. I had nothing to do. In fact, I had one. I remember the conversation very well. This is a person I respected tremendously, very, very senior person. He told me, he said, "Lou, I want you to stop doing this."
Listen.
I said, "Okay, sir, I certainly can, but may I ask why?" And he says, "Well, we already know what it is." Now, at that moment, I honestly thought maybe it was our own technology. I was running up against some super uber secret SAP, and you know, they were telling me to stop. And I said, "Okay, sir, so it's ours?" And he said, "No, that's not what I'm saying." And he said, he asked me point blank, "Have you read your Bible lately?" And I wasn't quite sure where he was going with that. And I said, "Well, sir, I think I know what it says. Where are you going with this?" And he said, "Well, then you would know that these things are demonic and we should not be pursuing them." Yeah. And he wasn't kidding. That's exactly how he felt.
So this is a Pentagon. This is a Department of Defense official saying, "Stop looking at UFOs because they're demonic."
Correct.
But if something demonic is flying over our skies, wouldn't religious people want to fight them?
Well, you know, I think no matter what it is, we need to figure it out. And you know, there was a time, and this is, look, I'm a religious person, but you know, there was a time where the church wouldn't even look through the telescope of Galileo because it conflicted with their narrative, only to, you know, years later them to come out and actually now, you know, use the grandeur of the universe to support their you know, their philosophical.
Anyway, that's where it stops. Can you get this now? He's told by one of his superiors, somebody who has a lot of authority at the Pentagon, telling Lou Elizondo, "Stop doing what you're doing." Why, sir? We already know what they are. What are they? Have you read your Bible? Yes, but what are you getting at? He said, "They're demonic." They are. That is exactly what they are. This right here is one of my, without a doubt, one of my favorite videos. One of the families that follow our ministry. He is a commercial airline pilot. The guy's got years of experience. Great guy. Loves the Lord. Loves the King James Bible. I asked him, I said, "Have you ever seen one?" He said, "No," but he says he knows somebody. He's the one that put me onto this video. This is the Aguadilla Airport in Puerto Rico. This airport is part of the Department of Homeland Security. We have an unidentified flying object. This obviously is infrared video. You can see how it keeps changing shapes and all this stuff. It's weird. But it's over, not just over United States airspace, it's flying over the Department of Homeland Security airspace. This will get you shot down if you tried to do this. They have a helicopter tracking this thing, following it. In a minute, you're going to see it go under the water without making a splash, come out of the water without making a wave, split into two, disappear in the water. Then they can't find it anymore. Watch this. Again, this was leaked. Department of Homeland Security helicopter tracking an unidentified flying object over the Aguadilla Airport in Puerto Rico. It goes under the water. Now it comes back up, making no waves whatsoever, under the water again. You can see it under the water. Back up. Under the water. Back up again. Under the water. Back up again. Now it's going to split in two. Look at that. Two different objects now. Absolutely insane. Go under the water and disappear. Again, you can see the waves of the water. It never disturbed the surface of the water. Friends, we're not talking about things that were made by some advanced civilization, humanoid civilization from some faraway planet. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living beings, is what I believe these chariots are. These wheels, the Ophanim and the Merkaba. This is Dr. Stephen Greer. He runs CSETI, which is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. You see him there in a yoga meditating position. Because he's a doctor because he's a certified medical doctor, an ER doctor. ER doctors are some of the smartest people in the world. Because they have to think quick. They have to save people's lives. One of my friends that's in the ministry, he was an ER doctor. I mean, a smart guy. But from college, he's been in contact with these entities that are associated with these flying objects. And in order to contact them, he goes into a yogic meditative trance. Now, if this is a humanoid type, let's say they're the Vulcans, and they live 158 light years from Earth, and they're going to make first contact with us, surely they would know that we are still using radio waves to communicate from one place to another. Surely their science would understand that our science still uses radio waves to contact other people across the world and into space. But that's not how you contact these entities. You don't use radios. You don't use CBs. You don't use telephones. You use ancient forbidden practices that God exclusively said in his word not to do. Do not seek after familiar spirits. And that is exactly what Dr. Greer does. That's how he contacts them. He runs what's called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is human-initiated contact. He has a group of people out on the beach
What is that orange?
And
orange,
in
orange
this
object,
particular whoa, instance, whoa, they oh make contact.
Whoa, whoa, just don't pop too
and
much.
And bring a
crouch down and look because you're
notice the color
cameras.
Wow.
The those color of fire, an amber, fiery.
Okay,
orb.
That you see that color?
Yeah, that's
not a plane. No,
off
no.
In the distance.
Oh no.
Another one's going to appear in just a
no,
second.
That's a
so
ship.
Let's thank them for coming.
Wow, and it's above the sea
please
level.
Turn off your night scope, Charles. Off.
Here comes another one.
Someone's infrared or whatever.
Yeah, that's Charles.
Oh.
Boom, there
oh,
it is.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, here they come.
He's taught
whoever's right in the front, if you
to
can
go
kind
into
of
a yogic
stay
trance.
Low, because your head is right.
Hindu.
You can
Hindu.
Get on your knees in front yeah. of her. Look at this, how gorgeous.
Oh,
the
my
Hindus
goodness.
Are
okay,
the
so
ones
the
who believe
scopes.
In
there's
330
no smoke, no
million gods.
Players.
These 330 million and gods are the 33%
okay,
of the
here.
Angels that get kicked
oh,
out
so
of heaven.
Beautiful.
They were waiting for us to arrive.
And they use
whoa.
Ancient,
all cameras
mystical,
filming.
Mind
so connect to them in your
altering,
consciousness and invite them here.
Meditative, empty your
these
mind.
Are the golden
reach
ones
out with
about.
Your heart chakra
gold,
to communicate
the
with them to get them to show up. And he takes people
so
all over the world.
It's probably
and
a couple
90
miles.
Times out of 100,
see them?
He gets
yeah,
UFOs to show up
so
every single time. What does
their,
that tell you?
Beings on board to join us in meditation.
They're not using
that
radios.
Is such a beautiful color. So you'll never
they're
forget
not using
that color.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, this is a major event.
They're using
so
how people contact.
So open your heart
chakra
spirits. And send them the beauty of humanity. And if you can see what I'm doing, you connect with your palms out like this and your third eye and your heart.
Listen.
Making like a tetrahedron radiating our pureness and love towards them.
Did you hear what he just said?
Orange.
Our love towards them. This guy, Stephen Greer, is exactly who the Bible spoke of. If anybody, a son of Belial, draws the inhabitants of the city, draws your parents, draws your brother, your sister, your family, your best friends, draw them and bring and tell you, let us go out and serve and love these other gods. God said they're to be stoned. And he wasn't kidding. This was a C-SETI event, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind event, where literally a fiery flying serpent showed up and entered into this person. Here's a close-up. Look at this. And Greer said that this person actually had a kundalini experience. Because notice where the serpent's head is. It's right where that guy's third eye is, his pineal gland. God said the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. I'm telling you, these people, this again, these are not the Vulcans. These are not the... These are not from the Death Star. These are not from the planet Xenon. These are not, this has nothing to do with science fiction. This has everything to do with devils, the powers of Satan himself. He is the prince of the power of what? The air. Beelzebub literally means Lord of the Flies. I think that it's more like the Lord of those things that fly. Now, having presented it that way, do you now believe in UFOs? I hope you do. Because at some point, they're going to make a grand appearance on this earth. when they do, that's going to be the beginning of the age of Aquarius. It is going to be the initiation of the new world order. Politicians aren't going to bring it about. They've been trying it for years. Everybody got up in arms when George Bush, back in 1991, said, we hope to create a new world order. Did he? No! Same old order that's been going on for years. People turning their backs on God. Some people trying to live for God. Politicians being corrupt politicians. Nothing has changed since George Bush said, New World Order. The very first Watchmen broadcast I did was January 2009. Henry Kissinger comes out on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And he's down there, and the stocks are plummeting, and the banks are going bad. They need all of our money to bail them out. The banks are nuts. Banks are evil. Henry Kissinger says, we hope this will bring in what they call the New World Order. And I featured that on the very first Watchmen broadcast. That was, 12 years ago? That was January 2009. Still no new world order. Do you know when it's going to come? When those angels fall from heaven. When those fiery flying serpents, those dragons, those chariots, those wheels, those evil gods, when they come down, that's going to be the beginning of their new world order. Not before. God's going to make quick order of it, I guarantee you. So, pray for us. Tomorrow we'll be heading out to Harrison. We'll be preaching there just one night. Keep us in your prayers. Lisa and I are going to take a couple of days, spend together. After everything that we have been through, just kind of get away for a couple of days. We'll be here Sunday. Homecoming! Coming up! When is it? It is... Let's see here. August 6th, 7th, and 8th. We are going to be publishing a program on that on the internet here soon, so you'll know exactly when everything's going to happen. We have already have 4 baptisms to do during that weekend, so just pray for us, pray for me. I think I have a good theme for this year. I think it's something exciting you'll enjoy. Might be a little spooky, but that's okay. And just pray that I can get all of that work done in time. We have the Vegas MUFON conference coming up. Pray for us as we travel out there. Try to spread the word of what these things are, the truth about them. Maybe, just maybe, reach some of these people who believe in UFOs with what I just said today. Maybe we could do that. Anyway, you pray for us. We pray for you. You are the reason why we do what we do. We appreciate your love for our ministry, your support for our ministry, your love for the people of Kenya, helping to feed them. We're going to do another feeding this week. There is such a need for those people to have food. So you pray for them. Pray that if somebody is close to death, we can find them and save them. Give them food to eat, and then give them the gospel. Would you do that? That would mean the world to me if you did that, all right? God bless you. I love you. We'll see. We'll be streaming through Mike Hutzel's sermon audio channel. So look for Mike, Pat Evangelist, Mike Hutzel on Sermon Audio. They will be doing the streaming for us tomorrow night, so you'll be able to see it. God bless you. We'll see you.